I'm talking with Dick Smith, the author of Australia's biggest selling biography. It's My Adventurous Life, and it is a ripping read. I mean, the man has just packed so much into his life and still has a lot more to offer. He'd be the first to admit that. Dick, you sold Dick Smith Electronics for, I don't know, I read somewhere like $35 million. You didn't have to work again, but you continued to need to work and contribute. What drives you?
Luke, first of all, yes, I ended up at 38 years of age and I was very wealthy. I didn't really have to work again, but I loved the environment and the out of doors, and so I wanted to put something back into Australia. So I started Australian Geographic magazine, and the idea was never to make any money out of it. It was just to have this wonderful magazine that supported Australian adventurers and farmers and everyone, just basically the country. And of course, that magazine did very, very well, and I was able to do quite well economically out of it.
You sold it.
Yeah, I sold it to Fairfax. And
was it 41 mil?
Yeah, it was 41 million. But by the way, I've since given that money away, so I don't have to feel too guilty about it.
You must sleep well at night. I don't know if you're Australia's most generous and largest philanthropist, but you've got to be up there.
Well, I shouldn't be, because the billionaires, I'm not a billionaire, and they should be the best philanthropists. Andrew Forrest is a really good one. So there are some really generous billionaires, but there are some pretty miserable ones as well, which is quite a pity.
I was going to ask you that, because you've told me that before, but for those who haven't heard our previous chat, you are bitterly disappointed in some of Australia's richest people because you don't think they give enough.
No, exactly right. Look, in America, if you're wealthy, you're also obliged to be a philanthropist. The two things go together. You get people like Bill Gates, who's given away hundreds of millions of dollars. But in Australia, it's quite different. We have the rich list, and only 15%, 15 out of 100 on the rich list, are actually known as philanthropists. Most of them are so miserable, they don't give any money at all. And that's very, very sad, because they could do so much to help people who are less well off.
Kerry Packer once said famously, it's a great quote, he said when being interrogated in Canberra, they were talking about the difference between tax evasion and tax avoidance. And he said, there's nothing wrong with avoiding tax. It's evading tax that's illegal. He said, if you don't avoid paying too much tax, you need your head read. Do you go along with that?
No, I don't agree with that. And in fact, there's a complete chapter in my book called Never Complain About Your Tax, because when I was a kid at 15 and came home from that first job as a process worker, I was really disappointed. And I said to my dad, look, they've taken some money out of my pay, which is about £3 a week.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, that's the tax. And then he said, Dick, never complain about your tax. It's such a fantastic country. The education, the police, the security, the hospitals, everything we have, it's such a fantastic country. And from that point on, I never complained about my tax. And in fact, I was very proud when I started making really good money at Dick Smith Electronics and paying over $1 million tax a year. I used to Skype and brag to my friends how I was doing the right thing. And I've always felt the same. There are lots of people who pay their tax. Most people do, and be proud of it, because it's such a fantastic country.
But do you think the tax system is fair? Here's a question for you. We have a skills shortage at the moment. We are struggling since COVID to fill jobs, for example, in hospitality, in cafes and bars, coffee shops, hotels. How would you feel if those Australians who had worked hard all their life, dug the well that new Australians are now drinking from, if they took up some of these jobs but were given a tax-free threshold so it didn't interrupt the pension that they so richly deserve? What do you think of that?
No, I'd support that. I'd totally support that. But on the other end of the scale, I support the wealthy people like me paying another 15% more tax. We could really afford to do that, and that would bring down the debt. We've got this incredible debt that our grandkids are going to have to pay off, and we wealthy people could easily pay a bit more tax. So you're absolutely right. We should encourage especially pensioners to go back and put a bit in, because that's really important, and you've got to have a proper tax system to do that. But there's no reason why the really wealthy people can't pay more tax as well.
Now, let me take you to something that you've also said to me before. You're not a big fan of increasing our population. And if we don't increase the population, where is the tax base going to come from in 20 years?
Well, that's the problem, that if if that solved the problem by having more people, well, that would be good. But it just makes the problem worse, because bring more immigrants in and they get older, so we then have more older people. At the moment, we have, I think it's about 27 million people in Australia. At the immigration rate we had before the coronavirus, we would end up at 100 million people at the end of this century, when our grandkids will still be alive. Now, not that many people believe 100 million is a sensible number for an arid country like Australia. My suggestion is we have immigration. I'm very pro-immigration, but I'd like it to see it at the long-term average of about 70,000 a year. And that means our population would level off at about 30 million, which I think is a pretty good number. I don't want us to have too many more people than that.
Dick, what if we could build dams and harvest the water that's wasted when it rains, and then not have an arid country, to be able to irrigate that country by harvesting water that we waste?
Yeah, that's a good idea, but that's going to be hard, because just where we are with latitude, it's going to be very difficult. We don't know what's happening with the weather's changing all the time. We don't know what's going to happen there. Some people say we're going to get more rain, some people are going to say less. And I just think every problem in the world today is harder to fix with more people. Many people don't understand, but our world increases by 80 million people per year, and we're on our way to 11 or 12 billion people. And that's when we still have 1 or 2 billion that are almost starving. And so I reckon we should be concentrating on getting the starving people to be well fed, rather than just having more and more people.
I'm talking with Dick Smith, the author of Australia's best-selling biography at the moment. Dick Smith, My Adventurous Life is what it's called. Dick, there is now talk, as the Queen is getting older. You know where I'm going on this. The Queen's you know where I'm going.
Yeah.
The Queen
yep.
is getting older, and when she passes, which will be a very sad day, there will be much more talk about Australia becoming a republic.
Yep.
And then, obviously, we'd need a head of state, which would be an Australian, and that would be possibly a president. And every time the subject comes up, your name comes up. I want to ask you, here and now, exclusively on the night shift on Triple M, are you interested in being Australia's first president?
No, Luke. It's the last thing I'd want to do. I'd be happy to be drafted in as dictator to run the country, but to be a president, which is just a figurehead, no, I'm not good at cocktail parties and standing around and doing that type of thing. Also, look, I'm not really a Republican. I suppose I could be talked into it, but of all the things that the problems we have in the world today, whether we're a republic or not doesn't make great difference. If we became a republic, I'd rather it just be a minimalist sort of change where we change the Governor General to an Australian person, but I'm not so sure whether you want to have them elected, so it becomes almost a political position. Imagine if we ended up with someone like Donald Trump. I don't think that'd be too good.
So, Dick, if you were dictator of Australia, okay,
yep.
okay, you are now dictator. There's been a military coup.
Yep.
And you are now in charge.
Yep.
What's the first thing you do?
The first thing I'd do is make the wealthy pay an adequate amount of tax. I'd get the big multinationals, the people like Google and Apple, to pay correct tax here. I'd make it completely open. One thing I'd do is, at the moment, the tax you pay is secret. But what I'd do is I'd say the top 1% of taxpayers, it's going to be published how much tax they pay. So you can compare it with the rich list, the billionaire list, to see they pay their tax. So I'd make it public. In Norway, now how's this in Norway? Everyone's tax is on the public record. It's not secret. And that means the wealthy are obliged to do the right thing. Whereas in Australia, a lot of the wealthy do everything they can to pay nothing. Imagine that you're a billionaire, Luke, and you pay no tax. And there's all these workers who are listening to you now who have to pay their tax in full. The policemen, the teachers, the hospital workers all have to pay their tax in full. But if you're a billionaire, there are some of them that pay no tax at all.
Mm. There are companies operating within Australia that are paying hardly any tax. Why,
absolutely.
Why have we allowed them to get away with that, do you think? Is it because the government's scared they'll pack up and leave?
It's also because they're incredibly powerful politically. They have these incredible lobby groups. Mm. They donate large amounts of money to the political parties, and they're completely unethical. They're just dishonest. and that's why it should be public. Wealthy people shouldn't have their tax secret. It should be completely open so you can tell who's doing the right thing. And we should give awards to the highest taxpayers. They should get special awards. And that, to me, would encourage people to do the right thing, because if you're a billionaire, there's no way you can spend your $1 billion. It's impossible. You couldn't spend that amount of money. But if you could get satisfaction from helping people who are less well off, that would be good. But you've got to motivate people to do that.
Dick, final question. The adventures in your book, you've got to read it, folks. You've got to get the book. I think it's out in softcover now, is it?
It is, yeah. It's sold out. 50,000 hardbacks have been sold. So now they've bought it out in a softcover and it's cheaper. So that's a good motive for people to buy it, isn't it?
And if you don't like it, it's recyclable.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you can put it. I noticed they're selling them on eBay, so you can put it on eBay.
I've got to say, all the adventures that you've had, look, we can only touch on a few of them, which we've done this morning. Would it be fair to say your biggest adventure started when you, at the age of 22, you met an identical twin by the name of Pippi McManamy?
Yeah, that's probably the greatest adventure, to be married to a girl at 19 and still be married 54 years later and have had a happy life. I was incredibly lucky because she had no idea when she married me that I'd become an adventurer and then do risky activities, flying around the world and flying across Australia by balloon and doing things which were quite irresponsible for a young dad to be doing and leaving my wife and kids at home. But she let me do it and gave me support, which was incredible.
She must have seen something.
I don't think she... Look, we had no idea, because when we got married, I just started Dick Smith Electronics with $610. I had absolutely no money at all, and she had no visions of money. And also, I wasn't an adventurer. I was in the Boy Scouts and used to go rock climbing and that type of thing. But she would have had no idea. I had no idea. In fact, I only got my flying license when I was about 30 years of age, and if someone had asked me when we got married that one day I would get a flying license and then fly solo around the world in a helicopter, I simply wouldn't have believed them. I'd say, that's never going to happen. But fortunately, it did.
It did.
And I got away with it. I'm still alive. I can't believe it.
I've got just one final thing to say to you. Thanks for the cereal, and thanks for the free asparagus.
Great.
And thanks. You won't remember this. I came to your house one day and we made Anzac cookies together in your kitchen.
I do remember that, and I'm still in the same house and the same wife. Everything's the same.
Well, it's great to talk to you again, Dick. Congratulations on the book and congratulations on a magnificent adventurous life.
Oh, Luke, and thank you. And I'd like to thank you for the support you've given me over the years. Absolutely fantastic. And it's been people like you in the media who've really helped Dick Smith Electronics and Australian Geographic and Dick Smith Foods go really well. So thanks again for all the help.
Okay, Dick. There, hail to the dictator.
Yep, good on you, mate. That's what, dictator, forget an elected president. All we need is a good dictator.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. Dick, let's catch up again soon. Lovely to talk.
Thanks, Luke. Great to be talking to you. Bye-bye.
There you are. Dick Smith, here on The Night Shift on Triple M.